Matthew 18, beginning in verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Neighbor, the Bible absolutely declares to us that it is scriptural. It is a scriptural commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ and from the apostles that people who rebel against the word of God are to be turned out of the church. The church is not made for a bunch of sinners. The world has come into the church and invaded the church, and very few preachers ever open their mouths about the world and the ungodly abominations that are committed of carnal-minded people. I'll tell you, while preachers have slept, the devil has come and sowed tares among the people of God. And it's time that we have men that are not afraid of the devil. They're not afraid of these carnal church members. They're not afraid of their position nor of their income to cry out against these sins and abominations that are buried. Yeah, they're buried under beneath the unconcern, beneath the, all of this apathy and carelessness and indifference and lack of anointed preaching against sin in the church. And this old kind of penny-waste preaching we hear today has driven sin underground. But neighbor, the only way to have the mercy of God is found in the scripture. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. In Joshua 7 and verse 11, God cried to Joshua and said, there's sin in the camp. You get rid of the accursed thing among the people of God, or I'll not be with you anymore, and you'll not be able to stand against your enemies. That's exactly what Jesus said. When there's an erring brother, then a brother who is spiritual is to go to that man or woman and to tell them their sin or their fault. And the Bible said, if he'll hear you, that is, if he'll listen to your counsel and advice and make the thing right, you've won your brother. But if he don't, then go with two or three more. And if he won't listen, then bring him before the church. And if he won't listen to the church, then let him be a heathen man and a publican. Put him out. I'll tell you, it's all right for sinners to come to church. They need to come to church. But for one to join the church and bring his old worldliness and ungodliness and his old paganism and heathenism into the church of the living God is an abomination. And I'll tell you, in Galatians 6 and 1, the great apostle said, brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If there's someone that's caught in sin or even in a fault, God said that the spiritual members should go to that member who's brought the world into the church, who's out here living like a heathen and belongs to the church. My, wouldn't it be wonderful if you belong to a church where the spiritual members, the preacher, would preach against this old long shaggy hair that is a disgrace to Jesus Christ and it grieves the Holy Ghost on these young men and young women. Not young women. They're supposed to have their hair long, the Bible says. But on these young men and these middle-aged men and these miniskirts, it's on these young women and some of the middle-aged women and all of these abominations, this old smoking and cocktail sipping, and a lot of times it's even worse, this pride that has brought these Jezebels and hussies into the church. Let me tell you, my friend, it would be wonderful to belong to a church, wouldn't it? Where there would be the mothers and fathers of Israel, as it were, would go to that young man and say, listen, young man, don't you know that old long hair is a disgrace and a dishonor to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost will not live in you? For your body is the temple of the living God, and when you defile the temple of God, God will destroy this temple. I'll tell you, these things are bringing weakness and defeat to the church of the living God of this age. And if there's a mother in Zion, would go to that woman that with that ungodly dress on and say, listen here, let me read you the scripture in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, where the Bible said that a godly woman must dress in modesty. Praise God, with shamefacedness and sobriety, and not with all this old broided hair and gold and pearls and all of this old makeup. My Lord, we would have the Holy Ghost moving and surging. We'd see miracles and signs and wonders, and there would be deliverance in the church, and not just a little hoop and a holler when we have a hoot nanny. I'll tell you, we need to clean the churches up. It's in the Word of God, my neighbor. The great apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 9, he said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of the world, or the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for you must needs then go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if as a man or woman in the church they call themselves a Christian, and they be a fornicator, or a covetous person, or an idolater, or a railer. That means they just always creating problems in the church with their old lips and their tongue, or they're a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one know not to eat, for what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? Of course we judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. But you that are in the church, you judge those things. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. God says remove them out of the church. The church is for godly people. It's not for the ungodly. I know the church house, that's good for everybody to come to. But I'm talking about joining the church, claiming to be a Christian, and the preacher never ever telling God's people the difference in right and wrong, and sin buried all over the camp of the people of God, and they're put to shame before their enemies. I'll tell you, my friend, it's a reproach to the living God, and it's a reproach to the real godly people of our day. What is happening in our churches? Have you ever thought about how amazing it is how that some preachers never ever seem to open their lips against sin? They have the same Bible I preach out of, and I find it in there where God says it's a disgrace for a man to have long hair, and God's Holy Spirit's not going to dwell in one of them kind of fellas either, I'm here to tell you. And I see it in the Bible, and it's in the Bible. You can read it all through it, where it's wrong for a woman to dress immodestly and get out here and be indecent and lustful in her dress. I'll tell you, it's an abomination with God. God calls her a harlot. That's still, we let them in the church, and they claim to have the Holy Ghost. And we can't have preachers that kind of tickle them under the chin and say, coochie, coochie, you nice little things. Why? They want that number on the board, and they want their money. I'll tell you, God's going to judge them kind of preachers. Well, isn't it amazing some preachers never mention about cigarette smoking and cocktail nipping and sipping and dipping? They never see it in the Bible where God says it's an abomination for a woman to dress up like Jezebel and paint her face and her eyes and to put them big old jewels in her nose and her ears and around her arms and around her neck. No, they don't ever seem to find it. It's amazing how preachers, it has to be premeditated that a preacher don't ever find them things and can never put the label on sin and dig it out of the camp and smoke the devil out with the power of God's anointed word. In Hosea 7 verse 1, God said, when I would have healed Israel. See, God tried to heal his people. But he said, when I wanted to heal Israel, said the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. They had an old golden calf down there. The people had idolatry all around. Then in verse 8 he said, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. See, God never intended for his people to be mixed up with the people of the world. God said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, and I'll be your father, saith the Lord Almighty. And I'll tell you, God said he'll dwell in us and walk in us, and his spirit will fill us if we'll come out and not mix ourselves. He said, strangers have devoured his strength, and he don't know it. This was Ephraim, the holder of the birthright in Israel. God said, when I wanted to heal my people, here's the holder of the birthright, Ephraim himself. He said, he's committed iniquity. He's got it buried. But God said, I dug it up, I discovered it, and I couldn't heal him. I'll tell you, my friend, God cannot heal the breach. He can't heal your body. He can't heal that home. He can't heal your spirit. He can't heal you of the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores until you're willing to turn away from your sins and abominations, confess them, forsake them, and let the blood of Jesus cleanse your mind, heart, and soul, and make your body clean and holy in the fear of the Lord. We go to the church at Pergamos in Revelation 2 and 12. And the angel, or to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he, which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel,